Last Sunday was a tremendous Sunday as we had the International Sunday. And it was just fantastic. I want to thank all of you that did serve, brought visitors. I know John and Miwa did an amazing job with the food, amen. I can't mention everyone because then that would be the sermon of this morning. So I want to ask you to know that we appreciate, we love that you took time to serve and to just be a part of the big family of God. Amen? Amen. There are people that came that may be open and want to hear from God. Please follow up. Get to meet them. Get to ask them what they're interested in. And let's start doing a study. And those that are not interested, keep the friendship. Who knows when the Lord opens the door. Amen. So let's do that, and God's name will be glorified as well. This coming Wednesday, I would like to encourage everyone to come. And I say we as the team of leadership, because we'll be putting before you as a church a long-term vision that we think that God has put on our heart so we can work together to really do a good job as we build God's family here in Gwinnett. Amen? Amen. So please, I encourage you, urge you to come along on Wednesday. On time, we'll have a great time together. Amen? All right. This morning, we need to get into the message. And we've said a lot of things in the past few months about transformation. But this morning, I want to ask the question, what gets in the way of transformation? How is it that we hear so much about the Word of God, whether it is in parenting, whether it is in one another relationships, whether it is just being happy and having a good time. And I know the teens had a good time yesterday. Amen, teens? They had a fantastic time yesterday. But what gets in the way of change? It is not that the Bible is not true. It is not that we've not been given the tools that we need to have. Something within our hearts can be very resistant to hearing God's word and going beyond that of just hearing and beginning to connect with God in a way that is begins to transform your heart. Here's the challenge, though. We come to church, and that's a good thing. We hear songs, we sing songs, that's a good thing. We come to midweek, that's a good thing. But we can get comfortable in how we are as a people and never allow ourselves to be stretched by the gospel or by the Spirit of God to be transformed. And anything that does that then becomes a no-no, something that we don't like. And we have to be careful about how we connect with God and not get comfortable in our day-to-day walk with God. So, let's start here. I'll stay in John 15 throughout today as I talk about this. What gets in the way of our hearts? Why doesn't God move us? Let's start with point number one. Pruning is part of growth. The aspect that pruning is a bad thing is what we must change in our paradigm, in the way we think, in the way we see challenges, in the way we feel about difficulty, in the way we feel, in the way we see all the bad things that we are going through. Bad is a relative term. Because God is walking through all that stuff. You understand that? You understand that, church? Bad is a relative term because God is with you even in the most difficult situations. And God is working out things. So pruning is part of growth. And when you accept that as a fact, a truth from God, you will ride your life with much more grace and love and forgiveness and patience. And you may find that it's not all that bad as we think about it. God is at work within us and trying to help us to be more like Jesus Christ. Here in John 15, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Jesus is the true vine. Not the internet. Jesus is the true vine. Not books. Jesus is the true vine. Then he says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. The fact that it says that he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, and we tend to think that's the guy that fell away. That's the guy that left God. But you know, you can leave God and be with us here today. You can leave God and sit here and have superficial relationships with God. You can leave God emotionally. Leave God to a point where the only thing that exists is your body that comes here. Your mind left. Your heart left. Everything left. All you got is your body sitting this place. Understand this. It's not a judgment. It's an awareness that I'm bringing up. Understand this. It's not putting you down. It's rather bringing you up to this connection of the Spirit. Understand this, that we have nothing against you. We love you, but we need to connect with God to make it function. So that's why it says that, you know, he cuts off that. He prunes that. And we sometimes think of that as, oh, it's the guy that left. It's the guy that stayed but never connected with God. Because the guy that left, left. It's the guy that stayed but never connected with God. Then he says he prunes that. So everyone is undergoing pruning. Those that are connected with God and those that are not. And the Bible says in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. What makes you and I clean is the word of God. And yet, if you look at how much time we take to get in the word of God today, it's frightening. I read somewhere, I had a statistic that in today's world, most people pick their smartphones up within the first, is it 15 seconds? Of when you wake up, the first thing you might look at is your phone. Your phone, you don't go to the Bible first, you go to the phone. You want to check the emails, you want to check what's going on. We're so distracted that the phone is taking over. We don't go to God and say, God, what do you have to tell me this morning? It's gone so bad. I mean, I got to talk to the teens as well. It's gone so bad that the principles that God put in us that changes inside out is that society, we're being changed that we are depending on the outside to stimulate us. Can you imagine that? And as a teen, you better be careful about that, because if you allow the outside to control you, you're given to the vices of this world. You've got to let the inside take over, transform you. But if we rely on the outside to make us happy, we will not enjoy life at all. In fact, you get so discontented when you rely on the outside. I can guarantee you by the time you walk to you, there's someone taller than you. What's going to make you unhappy if that's how you live your life? So you don't want to go that direction. You want to be going inside. Now here's the issue that we got to look at. Why is this pruning difficult? Let's talk about this quote here a little bit. It says this, Rick Warren, there is no growth without change. When is the last time you made significant change in your heart, in the way you do things, in the way you see different things? There's no growth without change. There is no change without loss. That is what we are afraid of. We are afraid of loss. We like to be in control. We like to keep it all together. Change happens when we let go of stuff. That's all pruning. That's all pruning. There must be loss. And there's no loss without grief. Are you kidding me? Who likes grief? We live in a society that is so addicted to fun. It was not fun. We now have the word boring is bad. Since when? That we simply cannot seem to enjoy life without relying on something outside to make us happy. And God is saying, it starts with you connecting with me. And he's saying, now, there is no loss without grief. I think that we don't enough, you know, the Bible says, sadness is good for the heart. That sadness allows the heart to really be cleaned out, to get you. When you're sad, you get in touch with the real you. When you're sad, you're able to connect with the truth and you begin to change. But when you're not, and a lot of us are afraid of sadness. We're afraid to go to a place that has a funeral or where somebody's sick. We don't want to go to that place. You want to go to a place that is nice. There's a party going on, and there's nothing wrong with it. What I am saying, though, is that if you're going to change, you have to come to grips with the fact that sadness is okay sometimes. You got to deal with that. It's helpful. And then it says there is no grief without pain. If you're going to have grieving, pain is coming your way. So we are stuck because we refuse to be pruned. Why? We're not ready to lose. We're not ready to change. We're not ready to grieve. Because that will not happen. Change will never happen. So it's all mental, but it never hits their heart. So we're not able to connect with God in a way that is transformative. That is what is getting in the way of transformation. It's not that the word is not working. It's that we will not embrace change. And it's that we will not let go of the things that are not useful for us, and that we will not grieve them. You know, sin, it can feel pleasurable, but you need to lose that as well. Lose it. And then let and grieve and allow God to walk with you. Amen? Amen. Secondly, I think the curtain is getting in the way of what we're trying to do here. Okay, I'll read it from here. Growth happens when we are connected to God. Okay? Growth happens when we are connected to God. So we talked about the pruning aspect. We got to be willing to lose something. You cannot keep bad habits and hope to grow. If you're waking up and not ready to pray in the morning, something is wrong with that. That habit needs to go so we can connect with God in the morning, right? If you're sleeping too late, that's a habit that needs to go so that you can go to bed early and be able to wake up early, amen? If you have no time with your family, that's something that you need to look at. Then you can change and make sure that you're spending time with your family. If you have no time with your children, that is something you need to look at and say, how can that change? Does that make sense? All that is change, but you have to lose something so that that can come into place. Because you're set in your ways. Those ways must go, and Christ must come in, and then transformation happens. Amen? So now the second point here is that growth happens when we are connected with God. We understand that pruning must go on, and we understand that, yeah, we got to change stuff. But that doesn't just happen if you're not connected to God. We have to have a connection to God. And it's simple. It's so simple that we actually underrate the power of the simplicity of it. Sometimes we look for complicated things because we think the more complicated it is, the better it is. It's like the same thing we think that because it's expensive, it must be good. That's not necessarily true. And we have all kind of adages, cheap is expensive. Well, that's all relative in some ways. It's true to certain degrees, but not necessarily all the time. It's how we think about these things. We have to get a paradigm shift and look at it and says, I need a connection to God. How does that work? John 15:4-5. Remain in me and I will remain in you. It works by you remaining in God. Wanting, desiring a connection. Desiring God. Wanting that I need you, God, in my life. If you're not needy, it'll not work. You gotta need God. Yet we live in a society that puts you down for being needy. But we need God. You cannot function without God. Now there's a neediness that is not healthy, but this one is healthy. This one of needing God is a healthy need. And sometimes you create these walls over years and you don't realize you're actually cutting God out of the game through and through. You become so protective of your heart, of fear, of anything, that you even cut God out. The Bible says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We can do everything we're saying here today if we're not connected to God. The idea that I can will myself to a discipline that is regular and just have a connection. If you will yourself, yes, you will do certain stuff, but you'll feel dry. You will come to church every Sunday but feel empty. Why? Because there's no God. There's no relationship. It's all rules on rules. And you can keep up that discipline until you die, but you will feel empty. You will not feel connected, inspired, transformed. Why? Because it's all rules. And the way life is in America is you can get busy trying to be organized to the extent where there's no God. Just organized, but no God. No connection. Just pretty organized, but no connection. There's a big difference when God is in play. The Bible says here that I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from God, you can do nothing. So that explains why we can be so organized, but so frustrated, so angry, so tensional with things. We don't feel the peace of God. The fruits of the Holy Spirit that the Bible teaches about in Galatians does not show. And you wonder, why is that? Why are families angry? Why are people angry? Why are people not just happy? What's going on? They have not connected to God. They've lost that aspect. You see, connecting to God requires that you spend time with Him. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and remain in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You will not be fruitful or be able to accomplish or transform if you're not talking to God and allowing God to talk to you. Now, hear me out. I know you've had this story many times, but I want to go at this thing for a while here. When you watch a movie you love and you're connected, what happens? We cry. At the end of the movie, you're crying. What happened? You were moved. You are connected. All right? If you hear a song that you love so much, man, some of us can't even finish the words. We're just shaking our hands and lifting. I mean, we're like, this is awesome. We're connected. Then we read the Bible and pray, and we don't feel like that. We say, oh, that's emotional. Okay, that's fine. You got to worship God the way you want. That's fine. But I'm going to make you aware of a connection. That's all I have to do this morning. I don't have to make you feel like you're doing anything wrong. All I have to get you to understand is what a connection is like. There's a connection to that movie. How do you connect with God like that? The truth be told is that we are in a hurry to read our Bibles. The truth be told is that we're in a hurry to pray. We're not in a hurry with other things, but with the most important thing, we are in a hurry to do that. We're in a hurry to leave. We're in a hurry to get out of the house. We're in a hurry to get back in the house. We're in a hurry to leave church. We're in a hurry to go. What happened to sovereign time with God? It is a society that is in a hurry, that is losing a value of connecting with things. And so because we lose that value, we become shallow and become very, very temperamental in the way we deal with things. And in the process, we have to be careful that we don't breed that in our children. We have to work hard in giving them the values of connecting with God. It will carry them when life is tough. Okay, let's talk about connection a little bit. How does it work? Let's demystify that. Vulnerability is the only bridge to build connection. If you're in a hurry, you will not connect with God. You need to be vulnerable with God. That happens in prayer. That happens as you read the Bible. You got to be willing to be vulnerable. I mean, let's talk about this for a moment. When you pray, are you willing to tell God what is in your heart? We can be conditioned to say what is right. We want to say, Holy Father, when we're saying, God, I don't even feel like that right now. We can never say that. We think, that's unholy. God wants to have a real connection with you. Why don't we get down to being honest with God in prayer? Let's talk about what we read. We read the Bible, but it's not transformative because we're reading sometimes for the sake of it. What about letting it talk to you? What do I mean? Figure out how you're feeling. Let's say you're feeling angry. Study out what anger is like in the Bible and what God says about anger, and you see how that turns you around. Does that make sense? Let's say you're feeling anxious. Study out anxiety. Figure out these feelings and connect with it and be amazed at how God begins to work in your life. That Bible study is sensible. It makes sense. Don't read just because I'm a disciple. I got to say something. I read the Bible. These are not the days when we come and ask you, did you read the Bible? We don't ask that question anymore. But if you don't, you wither out either way. We don't guilt you in that stuff, but you need to connect with God so that you see what God is doing in your life. So the point is this. You have to understand, unless you're vulnerable. And vulnerable is a hard thing to do because many of us, by the time you're a teenager, you've been hurt in life. It's not the days when we grew up and by the time you're a teenager, you didn't know nothing. Now the world has changed. People say all kinds of things. So being vulnerable is hard because we protect ourselves. We don't want to be vulnerable. Naturally, you want to build a wall. I don't want people to get to my heart. Learn to let go and let God touch you. To get to that place is a place of confidence of God, not of yourself, of God, that God has you and is on your side, and you can overcome no matter what happens. Amen? It takes that. Spiritual connection and engagement is not built on compliance. It's not complying on this. It's not just complying with the scriptures. It's a result of somebody who understands God's love, of his love. If you understand what Duncan was talking about, the love and all that, how wide and how deep, then you begin to have that relationship that allows you to connect with God. It's a sense of belonging. If you don't belong to any relationship with God first and with other people in your family groups, it's one another relationships, and vulnerability, it will not come. That connection will not happen. You have to understand it does not just happen. So then I want to ask you, do you have a friend with you in church? Now I know you have disciples you've known for a long time. I'm talking about a friend. Two or three. People you can tell everything and not feel rejected. And not feel like, will they like me if they know who I am? That's God for you. God knows everything about you and he loves you anyway. He loves you anyway. Even with all your secret stuff, he loves you anyway. So get open and get help and start enjoying it right here. But you'll have to cultivate that for yourself. It is a truth I know for myself. I have had friends over time and now I'm beginning to build my friendships here. And I have a friend called Royola. We don't talk much, but he is always sending me stuff and then. But if we meet, we have a conversation. We can talk about everything. And he never feels like I changed because he told me that stuff. I'll be back tomorrow and say, hey, how you doing, buddy? I tell him stuff. We've disagreed, but we're still friends. We didn't stop being friends because we disagreed. And over time we said, well, it's about time we became dealt with that and said sorry to each other and moved on. There comes time that you must let go of stuff. If you don't let go of stuff, you're stuck. And I'm not putting down your stuff. Hear me out here. I know it's heavy stuff for you, but God can heal you. The more you hold on that stuff, the more you get sick. We don't want you dying before your time because of stuff. Stuff people said, stuff people did, stuff people did not do, stuff they didn't give you or gave you. It's just stuff. Let go. I beg you that there's life beyond stuff. There's heaven. There's life on earth that is so real. If you make people bigger than God, it's a sad place to be. It's a sad place. I can tell you that. But I know this. Connect with God and see what happens. Find a friend to talk through these things. Find God. Let's have this done. Amen? Let's finish this thing here. Third point, faith grows when we are connected to God. Did I do that? No, I didn't do that, right? Let me make sure I got it right. Growth happens when we are connected to God, but this is different. Faith grows when we are connected to God. Now, let's talk about our faith a little bit here. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 11 verse 1 to 2, right? Verse 6, without faith, you cannot please God. All right? Oh, what is faith? That faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I don't understand it. Let me break it down to this. Do you believe in love? That's a rhetorical question. Have you seen love? Can you touch it? You can feel it. But you can't touch it. That's faith for you. All right, let's go further. Do you believe you have a brain?
Your brain. You believe you have one, right?
Have you seen it?
That's a rhetorical question.
Have you seen it? That's faith. That's faith. Now, the difference, though, with the faith we talk about is one that grows. How will your faith grow so that it can transform you? Okay, John 15, 6 to 8. It says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you wish and will be given you. I guess it should be to you. That's what I think. Here's the point. We read such scriptures and we think it can be true. It's true. If you connect with God, you can ask. Growing up, my mom died when I was 1 year, 8 months old. So, I was raised very much with my dad. My dad was a tall guy. And he was a policeman. He would have the big uniform and all that. The belts were going everywhere. And the gun and all that stuff. So, from a very early age, my trust in my dad was amazing. There's nothing dad could not do. We went here, we went there. Sometimes, you know, and he really raised me up. I sometimes just sleep in bed with him and he'll come and say, who wet the bed? And I'll give him the story of, I think somebody came at night and poured water over here. And he would laugh at me and think, really? That's what happened? Well, very interesting. He would just change up and keep going. But that connection, the connection we had, and as I grew old and rode bikes with him, and talked about the person I should marry, and watched my life, and the things he would talk to me about. And look at that, and I said to myself, I never thought that anything was impossible with my dad. Even at 20, I think I believed that. When he died at 20, I was 21 years old when he died. It took me like 2 years to recover from it. And that's how connected we were. It's like, really, that the invincible guy died? He actually died? He did. Now, I share that to tell you that when you're connected with God, your father like that, God, nothing is impossible. But it doesn't work until you have a relationship like that. That, not even like that, better than that. That's just a human relationship. Better than that. But that doesn't happen if you don't connect. You see, we think that many of us know of God. We don't know God. We know of God the way we know about Obama. We know of Obama. You don't know Obama, but you know of him through media, through stuff they say about him, through his speech. But do you know God? Do you really connect with God on a personal level? How do you know God for yourself? And that's what I'm talking about. We have to work on knowing God. That when God says this, it's true. I sat down and read the scripture yesterday and I said, this is true. Why do I doubt God sometimes? It's my connection with him. It's true. God will fulfill what he says he will do. But you have to trust him and know him for yourself. So, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. If it's possible, then I don't think you necessarily need faith. It will happen. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. God wants to get glory. It's not going to come from what is humanly possible. Faith begins where a man's power ends. This is George Mueller. If you ever read about this man, you will know that he had faith. He did stuff that you are like, he did that stuff? Are you sure he did that stuff? Yes, he did. Go read the books about him. But it was just faith. Faith cannot be developed if you don't have the Word of God. Romans talks about it. You got to get in the Word of God. You have to hear the Word of God. That's when faith develops. Too many people read the Bible, but the faith is not developing because that Bible study is not relevant. It's not something that can transform them. So they read it and feel like it's empty. Why is it empty? Because they're not connected to what they're reading. They're not connected to what the Bible says. So it becomes an illusion. I think sometimes we're way more connected to internet than we are connected to the Word of God. You will tell somebody what the Bible says, they're going to go and Google to know that if that's true. No. Check the Bible. It's the most checked out book. Trust God. Trust His Word. Connect with Him and begin to ask of Him to transform you. There's nothing impossible with God. God bless you.
I was thinking there's usually something up here, so. But all right, so we're gonna go ahead and close out with a prayer, and then we're gonna have one more song before we're dismissed. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for delivering this message to us today. Help us to take that to heart and really, you know, strive for connection with you. Lord, help us not to make it about knowledge and organization and processes, but help us to really find the personal connection with you, Lord. Help us grow in our intimacy so that we can grow fruit through that. And God, we believe that you will help us to draw near to you if we truly desire that. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.